into the wind. We let her drive and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda. We had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. So they would put ropes and braces underneath the ship, pull them up just to hold the ship together, fearing that lest they should fall into the quicksands, they struck sail, and so we were driven. They were driven by this wind. They had no control. Remember, Paul had already told the centurion, Julius, that they shouldn't go, and he trusted the master of the ship more than he trusted Paul. But Paul knew, but he couldn't do anything about it, so he just let it go, trusted the Lord in it. And so they were driven by this wind. They were driven by this storm. And sometimes we end up in those storms too, where we're driven by things. We're driven to places that we wouldn't go naturally. COVID kind of drove us into those places. It drove us into places where we were isolated, drove us into places of wearing masks all the time, being afraid, going through all the scenarios that COVID has brought out. What if I get it? What if I... what happens to me? What am I going to do? It's interesting. One of the first doctors that came up to me when I went in the hospital, he was a little young squirt. Only had half a head of hair because he shaved the other half, wearing makeup, and talking with a very high voice. Which didn't set me off too well to start with. But he comes up to me and he goes, "Well, I need to find out some information, and I can't breathe. They got me on oxygen, can't breathe." And the guy comes up and he goes, "What happens if we have to go further than this?" I go, "I don't know." I don't know. "Well, we have to know, and I have to know right away. Is there somebody you could call?" I'm going, "It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm not calling my wife. We'll figure this out as we go." So he wasn't real happy with me. He had this rehearsed speech that he went through without waiting for any kind of answers. Went through the whole thing, got done with it, and when he was done and I didn't answer him, he just left. And that was the last I saw him. Thank you, Lord. There was some good ones, but there was some strange things that went on. But you look at things and how things change so quickly. The world shut down within a week. Masks on everybody in every country, in every nation. People isolated. Even one of the researchers at one of the big universities in the States has now said that being isolated is not good for people. God already knew that. If people were reading their Bibles, they would have already known. It wouldn't have been shut down like it was. The governor of California wouldn't have had to shut down all his churches and fine them. One church in California, I was listening to one of the guys a couple weeks ago, they fined him so far $2.5 million. For staying open, and for people coming in, and they're singing. Heaven forbid, they're singing. And he's been fined $2.5 million. They recently came against the governor, put a lawsuit against him. They won, so he's paying the churches, except for this one church.
John MacArthur?
No, Don McClure's son. Mike McClure, he's in San Jose, just an amazing guy, young guy. A guy in that we just heard about 2 days ago in Canada, in Alberta, he had an outdoor service with people spaced apart. They shut him down, they threw him in jail because he had a service. We have changed so much. And we think, when are we going to get back to normal? I don't think there is going to be a normal. There's a new normal, as they say.
But God knows what's coming. I just wish we knew about this one before. Lord, why didn't you tell us this was coming? Because I got to have some surprises somewhere here. I got to shake things for you so that you look to me. And certainly, the men on this ship, as we're going to see, 276 people on this ship, driven instead of having their way in going their direction with their plans being completed, they're driven, it says. And sometimes we're in that place where fear drives us, where circumstances drive us to places where we have to do things that we normally wouldn't do and haven't been prepared for. But with the Lord, isn't it wonderful that there's always going to be a peace if we look to Him? He tells us in Jeremiah that He's going to keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on Him because we trust in Him. And our minds are stayed on Him because of our trust for Him. But He disciplines us. He shows us how to get to that place. He prepares us by giving us examples along the way so that we can have our minds stayed on Him and prepared for those things that are going to come. We see lawlessness all over the country. It's amazing. The city of Rochester cutting the police funding by almost $5 million. And now they're complaining because there's not enough police to answer the calls that are coming through. If you call for a theft in your home, chances are the police will not show up. You can file a report online because there are not enough police to do it. And yet we found the money to fund an advisory board to oversee the police. The same amount of money they cut from the police, they've given to 45 people who oversee the police to make sure that they're behaving themselves. We've gone a little wacky, we've gone a little over the edge, and we see that there's no logic, there's no common sense anymore, but that's what happens when people are driven rather than being led by the Lord. They're driven by circumstances, they're driven by things that people want to have in their lives, this LGBTQ, whatever thing, going through the schools, letting male athletes compete with female athletes, letting them take showers together. What is wrong with us?
Because they're driven by sin.
They're driven instead of being led. And that's what happens. And that's why it's so important for us to stay in the Word and to stay focused on who God is. We won't be driven by things. We'll be led by the Lord in the right direction. And so stay strong. And here's all these men. Paul is an example for them here. They struck sail. They were driven almost 500 miles away from where they started. In verse 18 of chapter 27, it says, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest." That is not a word you want to hear when you're on a ship. You're being tossed. It's almost like the cartoons where you see the waves just playing catch with the ships. Exceedingly tossed with a tempest. And the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, it was still there. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You get to a place, and sometimes we get to those places too, don't we? We give up all hope of God answering our cries. We give up all hope of being relieved from the condition that we're in. Sometimes the cancer comes in, and we give up all hope of being healed. We give up all hope of having any kind of life that we feel is worthwhile. They take away our IRAs. They take away our pensions. They take away our health care. What do? Where do we go? We depend on the Lord. Where do you think the early church was? Completely dependent on the Lord. They didn't have any of that stuff. God, it's you that heals. It's you that takes care of us. Lord, help us. And that's where the church needs to be and should be. We should be such a shining example to the world around us of our trust in the Lord and what our God can do in the midst of all this. Oh boy, such a time for us to be here. Such a time as this. And he says, but in verse 21. But I love this. After a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. He had separated himself, got together with the Lord, and sat with the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Paul. He stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs. Notice he calls them sirs. He doesn't say, hey, you dummies. I told you not to go. He's going to say, I told you not to go, but he's not going to call them dummies. He calls them sirs. He has respect for them. He shows them respect, which is something that we should be doing too. We're not to disrespect the people around us, but to respect them. And he says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. It's been many days. They're being tossed up and down by these waves. And he goes, hey, put a smile on your face. If you're positive thinking, you'll be all right. He's not promoting that. He's promoting a relationship with the Lord. And he says, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. The Lord has spoken to him and given him exactly what is going to happen from here on in. And it's amazing to me that he has the confidence in God's spoken word to him, that he would trust him and then speak it forth. Because what happens to false prophets? They get stoned. They get killed. And yet he prophesies these things that are going to happen because he trusts his God more than he is afraid of the fear of man. What man is going to say if he fails. I love it. One day I'll get there. I exhort you. There's going to be no loss of any man's life. What a thing to say. They're being tossed. They've already thrown off most of the ship. And yet he says nobody's going to die. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. So the witness comes out just by his relationship with the Lord. And what does the angel say to him? Fear not, Paul. Now, an angel wouldn't say fear not unless there was fear. Why would an angel say fear not if you're not afraid? Fear not for what? So evidently there was some soul searching going on with Paul. And the angel says, hey, Paul, don't be afraid. Oh, such an encouragement. And he's standing before them, not afraid. Fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and this has been told him before. And he says, I'm not going to die because I'm going to Rome. So he knew he was going to get to Rome. He's 500 miles away now from where they were supposed to be. And he says, I know I'm going to get back there. And in this storm can do nothing to me. And the storms of life that surround us can shake us. But God has his appointed time and his appointed place for us to be before those things are going to come to pass. And we can trust him. And again, that's why it's so important to be in that relationship with the Lord where we would know what God has for us. God, you've told me this. A couple weeks ago, some guys were asking me, well, what are you going to do now? Going back to work? What are you going to do? When does your home study start up again? What about Thursdays? What's going on? I said, well, there's one thing I know for sure. God has called me to teach. So the studies are going to start up as soon as I get enough strength to talk and to hang out for a while and to do stuff. So here we are. Home study starting up next month. We'll get back to things. I know that for sure. Work? I don't know. We'll see. I'd rather not, but I'm enjoying myself. I found the sunshine. I know my wife now. I haven't been home on Saturdays since we got married. Been working 6 days a week for ever since we got married. And we actually had breakfast a couple of times together. It was just like, really? This is who you are, huh? It's wonderful. I'm enjoying it. We'll see what God does. But the angel comes and he says, "Fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God, look at this. God hath given you all them that sail with you." These 275 men that are with you, Paul, they're yours. You're in charge of them. They're under your authority now. Really? He's a prisoner. What do you mean they're mine? They're yours, Paul. You're now in charge of this. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." He says it again, second time. "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." These guys got to be freaking out. What are you talking about? The ship is going to make it and we're going to an island. "But when the 14th night was come," so this has got to be a little discouraging. Can you imagine being in a storm 14 days? We usually last through a storm in our life about an hour or less. 14 nights? 14 nights in a storm, an exceedingly strong storm that's driven you to places you've never been before, that you're not supposed to be at, tossed up and down, your life completely reversed and just given over to nature. And he says, "You're going to make it through." Oh boy. "When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria," notice they're still being driven. Paul's being led, they're being driven. Paul doesn't care where they are. He knows what's going to happen. He's being led. The rest of them are being driven to this place because of their circumstances. I'd rather be led than driven. Sheep are led. Cattle are driven. And that's what happens. That's the difference between those that are God's and those that are in the world. They are driven to do what they're going to do. We're led to do what we're supposed to do. And that's so important for us to know. So important for us to be in that place where, "God, I want you to lead me. I don't want the world to dictate how I'm going and where I'm going to be. I want you to lead me to where I'm supposed to be. Because, Lord, I'm driven by finances. I'm driven by vacation times. I'm driven by people's needs around me. I'm driven by my family. I'm driven by this." He says, "No, I want you to lead. I want to lead you, and I want you to be in those places where I want you to be because I'm leading you there, not because I'm driving you there. Because God doesn't drive anybody. The world does that. And we're opposite of the world. That's why it's so strange for people when they come up to us and, well, what are you going to do now? I don't know. I'm praying about it. God's going to lead me there. What do you mean God's going to lead you? Well, you got to have this, and you got to have this much money, and you got to have this much before you can retire, and you got to have this much before you can lean on God. No. God first, everything else later. Oh. My poor honey, I'm old enough where I got some Medicaid, but she hasn't had insurance in years. And over the years, it's probably been 10, 12 years out of the 45 that we've been together that she's had no insurance whatsoever. And she, you know, "Honey, what are we going to do?" "We'll just trust the Lord." She's got more faith than I do. I've got insurance. She's sitting there with nothing. "Honey, don't you think you should go to the doctor?" "Nah, God's going to heal me." And he does. And it's just like, oh my goodness. Lord, you lead your people. And you put them in places where they need to be so that they can trust you. Right now for her, I mean, she's at that age now where she's turning this month so she can get Social Security where she's going to have it. She's going, "I don't even know if I want to go see a doctor. I've been doing great for years. Why would I go now?" Okay, well, whatever here. here they are being driven up and down the coast, and about midnight, the darkest time of the night, the darkest time for people, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And they sounded, or they let down things so that they could hear and sound out where they are and how deep the waters are, and found it 20 fathoms. A fathom is about 6 to 7 feet, depending on who you read or who you talk to. They're down 120 feet before they hit something. They went a little further and sounded again and found it 15 fathoms or 90 feet. So they know they're getting close to something. And here Paul has already told them, we're going to land on an island. And they're sitting there going, we're getting close to land. This guy might be right. And what is God doing? He's drawing people's hearts to trust his anointed ones that he's put in front of them. Oh, if Paul had never said anything until after they had done it, he could have said, well, the Lord told me we were going to be on this island, and they would have gone, yeah, right. But because he told them ahead of time, when there seemed to be no hope, this is encouraging their trust to come to faith. So important for us to speak forth the things that God has showed us so that people can see that, yes, God is real, God is true. An amazing thing. In verse 29 it says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat, so this lifeboat that they had that was there, some of the sailors were saying, hey, we're out of here. We're getting out. We're getting on this little boat and we're getting to land. Under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, to Julius and the soldiers that were with him, this squad of soldiers that were ace men, like the Navy SEALs or the Army Rangers. These guys were the ones that were around in Rome, sent out to get the prisoners to bring them back to Rome. Paul says to them, except these abide in the ships, you won't be saved. Paul is telling the centurion, if these guys get out of here, they're going to die. Because the only way they're going to be saved is if they stay in the ship. Well, the escape looks promising. We could make it to land in this little boat. We could maneuver it. We could get there. We know we're close. And he says, no, if they go out, they're all going to die. Who's in charge? Not the centurion. Remember, he listened to the master of the ship before? Look at what he does now. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. The only way of escape, they just got rid of. Who are they trusting? They're trusting a prisoner who's going to Rome to get beheaded. They're trusting a prisoner accused of crimes instead of trusting the masters of the ship, who should have the knowledge and the understanding of what's going on in storms and in the seas. They don't even know where they are. They haven't seen stars in 14 days. They haven't seen land. They don't know where they are. They're not even sure. They aren't going to find out until they hit land, and then they're going to figure out where they are. But they have no clue. But Paul knows, hey, we're in a safe place because God is with us. The storms that you're going to hit, and our storms are not done, I don't think. I would love to have the rapture happen right now so that we would have no more storms, but I think the storms are going to get a little worse. Hamas is already testing out the new president of Israel, already gotten a response from him in the form of airstrikes, but they're already testing. They're testing our new president and seeing how far he's going to go. We know that we're going to be tested. China has just announced that they now have 350 ships that are sailable and ready to go and manned. We have 300 and we're cutting back. Wonder who's in charge there. But you see, it could scare us to death. Mr. Putin could send some rockets over with some little warheads on them that would completely destroy every city in America. He's got enough. China's got enough. The little guy in North Korea's got plenty to send out, and he wants to, but he's being controlled by others. We could be in complete fear, but you see, we know the end of the story. We're going home. We have that trust. We have that hope, and we don't have to fear. We don't have to be driven to build a bomb shelter and to go and sit in that for the rest of our lives. We can be free and just go about our business as we see fit. So the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat. They let her fall off. And while day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat or to take some sustenance, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." So they haven't eaten in 14 days, it seems like, or very little anyway. "Wherefore, I pray you that you take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not a hair fall from the head of any one of you." Really? The storm is still going on. It's not getting any better. The storm hasn't stopped. But Paul is continuing to give encouragement of what God is going to do for them if they trust him. And for us, as we trust him, of what God is going to do for you and I. He's going to save us to the uttermost, the word says. We're saved from our sins past. We're saved from sins that are happening right now. And we're going to be saved eternally as God takes us out of this world and takes us home to heaven. And we say we trust it. Then why do we fear sometimes if we're going to die? When we get the cancer word from the hospital. Or it looks like an accident's going to happen to us on the road. As we fear, God says, "Trust me in the midst of this. I've got your salvation complete." You go, "Oh, okay, Lord." Like, okay, I have no other hope. I guess I'll trust you. Do we trust him? Or do we really trust him? I trust your word when everything is good, but do I trust you when everything is bad and I'm in the midst of a storm and it's been going on for 2 weeks and it doesn't look like there's any hope in the midst? "There shall not a hair fall from the head of any one of you." Amazing. "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all." He's having communion in front of 275 unbelievers. Amazing. And he's the one running the show. They just cut off their last hope of escape. That's gone away. They're in this guy's hands. Paul has got control for them. Can you imagine his prayer life as he prays for each and every one of them? Oh, Lord. Oh. So amazing. "He took bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat." And they were all of good cheer. Look at what it takes. When they see this man so calm that he could take communion in the midst of them, it says, then they were of good cheer. He's told them twice, be of good cheer, right? But they didn't have any cheer. Until he comes to this place of having communion with God in front of them. And then they had good cheer. This guy trusts God so much, he's going to take communion right now. Maybe I can trust him. And that we were in all in the ship 216. So 276 people. And it says, "and we," in verse 37, so Luke is with him still, there's at least a couple of them saved, not just Paul. "We were all in the ship, 276 people, amazing, on the ship, this grain ship that has been driven 500 miles from where they were, from where they were supposed to be, and they're in a place they don't know anything about, in a situation they didn't know how to handle, but God knows how to handle it. Are you in one of those situations now where you don't know how to handle? James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, then ask, and God will give it to us liberally, without reproach. He won't reproach you for asking for his help, because that's where he wants us to be. God, I've never been here before. I've never been through COVID before. I've never been in this place before where I needed help, but I need you, Lord. Help me. And what a wonderful thing it is when God comes and answers the cries of our hearts. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship. So they didn't just take communion, they kind of chowed. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the weed into the sea. Evidently realizing they weren't going to need any more. They were landing on an island. They were trying to lighten the ship so that they could be high enough where they could get further towards land so that they would be safe. And when it was day, they knew not the land. They saw the land, but they didn't know where it was or what it was. They didn't know where they were still. But it didn't stop Paul from being in that place of being of good cheer and encouraging the people that were around him. He was just as astonished as they were. They were in an unknown place. But you see, when you have the confidence of the Lord, when you have the hope of the Lord, it doesn't matter your surroundings. It matters who God is in the midst of those surroundings. Yeah, and what a wonderful thing that is when we can have that. When it was day, they knew not the land, and they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. So they see this little creek running through, this little stream running through the island, and they purposed to drive the ship as far as they could up the creek without a paddle, I don't know. But whatever, they were going to do it so that they could be as safe as possible. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves under the sea and loosed the rudder bands so the rudder could just go. And they hoisted up the mainsail to the wind. They even hoisted a sail so that they could get more force in going up the creek in near this island. And they made towards shore. Remember, Paul had said, you're going to land on an island. Ha! Here it is. And so they're going for it. They're committed to it. They're prepared to give themselves over to what Paul has said now. An amazing thing. And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So the ship that had gotten them through 14 days of storms is no longer good, is no longer the place where they were supposed to stay. Because why? They were supposed to get off the ship now and be on the island, just like Paul said. What would happen if this ship stayed together? Many of them would have stayed on the ship instead of getting off and being in the place where God wanted them. See, sometimes God gets us there through vehicles, through ways that we don't know of. And when we get to the place that we're supposed to be, we get rid of that. We get rid of the vehicle. We get rid of the way that God has taken us to him. And he says, it's time to get rid of that. It's time to get rid of the help that you've had for the last 14 days. I'm going to give you something new. And we are comfortable with what used to be. I remember being up at the hospital and they came up and said, you're going to ICU. And I'm going, I'm leaving my room? I'd only been there 2 days, but it was my room. I had my Bible. I had a radio. It's my room. I don't want to leave my room. This is unknown. What do you mean I'm going to ICU? And boom da boom, I had no choice. I couldn't fight them. I couldn't even tell them I didn't want to. They just took me. But we get so comfortable even in hard situations, don't we? This is my place. This is where I'm finding comfort. And this is what we find with people who are drug users, what we find with people who are alcoholics. I'm comfortable in my pain because this is all that I know. I can't go outside of it and trust Jesus and stop drinking because I don't know what to do. I can't stop taking drugs because I don't know what to do. I can't stop going to doctors and taking pills because I don't know what to do. But you see, as we trust the Lord and He takes away those things don't matter. The vehicle that He uses to get us someplace, He takes away so that we don't get comfortable with it, so that we're always walking forward instead of trusting something that God says is not Him. The ship was not God. They were going to trust the ship for their salvation. He says, nah, I'm going to break it apart. The thing that you're trusting in, I'm going to break apart and it's going to be worthless. You go, oh Lord, what am I going to do? Well, you could trust me and walk forward, or you could die in the ship. Not much of a choice. So the back end's being broken with the waves, the front end stuck, and so the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. So the soldiers, because they were soldiers, and they knew if a prisoner escaped, they would take the punishment of the prisoner, they would die. And so they wanted to kill all the prisoners. So when they got back to Rome, they could say, we killed them all, because this is what happened. And Nero would say, wonderful, great. You don't die. Wow. Well, that's pretty harsh. But the centurion, willing to save who? Paul. Isn't it wonderful? His love for Paul and his love for Paul's understanding and his wisdom has brought him to a place with his soldier where he says, no, we're not going to kill the prisoners. Because I don't want Paul to die. He's given us wisdom. He's gotten us this far. He told us we were coming to an island. He told us none of us were going to die. So I don't want to kill him now. He's got wisdom. And he kept them from their purposes. He kept the soldiers from doing this. So again, who's in charge? Paul. The prisoner's in charge of the soldiers. I love it. When God takes things and switches them around, the world thinks they've got us confined as a church. Folks, we are so free that the world can never confine us to a place. They think if they shut down the churches, things are going to be okay. I don't know if you realize it, but ever since the last president got out of office and the new one came in, you and I are back on the terror list. We are terrorists. Conservative, fundamental Christians are terrorists again. They want to put us away. They can put us away. We're still free. If the Son makes you free, then you're free indeed. It doesn't matter if you're in jail, in a refugee camp, in a Christian refugee camp. Wouldn't that be great? What Bible studies we could have if we were all together. That would be great. But we're free. It doesn't matter where we are. It matters whose we are. And that's what's so important. And that's what the world cannot understand. How can you believe in someone you can't see? Because He's real. Because He's God. And the Holy Spirit confirms it to us. Oh, I cannot go any other direction. So the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purposes, commanded that they should, that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest some on boards, So the first talk of surfing in scripture. In some unbroken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that what they escaped all safe to land. What did Paul say? If these guys get out of here, they're going to die. If they stay on this, they're all going to be safe. Oh, the ark that the Lord brings people through, even unbelievers, just to show them his power, his grace, his mercy. I can imagine some of these guys got saved. And can you imagine as they realized that they were in the ark of God, kept by God, sustained by God? It wasn't Paul that kept them, it was God. And as they started to realize that, oh, the joy that would come upon their lives to know that no matter where they went, they could be safe in Christ. They were all safe to land. It's amazing. There's storms in Scripture. And we'll just finish up with this. But in Mark chapter 4, there's a storm. But storms are used for different purposes. In Mark chapter 4, the storm that was used with Jesus and the disciples was for instruction. The Lord was trying to instruct them in ways and things that he had for them. Jonah was in a storm. Noah was in a storm. Jonah was in a storm, but that was more for correction, right? Because he was running away from God. God was going to correct him, correct his ways, bring him back to the place that he wanted him to be and set him free again. But he was correcting him from thinking that God was someone to be feared. God's ways are not always our ways. And so sometimes we need those storms in our lives to correct us. Sometimes we need those storms in our lives to instruct us. I think the storm that the Lord brought with COVID into the world was to not only instruct us that he alone is God, but also to correct us from trusting in anything that wasn't God. We were trusting in our security here in this country. I think the Lord's really woken up the real church. The church that isn't so real is still in fear. But I think the Lord corrected us from trusting some of the things that we were trusting in. And then there's a storm with Noah. Remember his storm. He was in an ark also. But his was more of judgment upon the things around him, not judgment on Noah, but judgment on those things around us. And there's going to come a storm. We read about it in Revelation. There's going to come a storm upon this world that the world is not ready for. We're going to be gone, thank you, Lord, because we're going to be in the ark. We're going to be safe, secure, in the ark with our Lord, who promised to keep us. But he said, in those days, if he didn't shorten those days, even the very elect wouldn't survive. That's how bad it's going to get. There's a judgment that's coming upon this world that they know not of. And did you think, even the last couple of weeks, there's been so many reports of UFOs going through? We've got them on camera. We've got pictures. We've documented every part of what's going on. The aliens are coming. and they're going to take somebody off. But it isn't going to be aliens. But isn't it amazing that demonic warfare, that demonic signs and wonders are going to increase in the end times? Because more and more people are going to trust in demonic things. And it's going to become more and more visible until the Antichrist can come upon the scene and people are going to be so deluded, so deceived that they're going to believe him and trust him. For you and I, it's just another sign that Jesus is coming soon. For them, it's a sign, oh, we can trust in all this stuff that's going on because everything's going to be okay. there's life outside of here, and they're going to take care of us. There is life outside of here, but it isn't going to take care of them. Only God takes care of us. They're going to be driven again to believe something that's not real. You and I can believe the truth because it's here. And He loves us, and He died for us. He rose again to confirm it to us. The work has been finished. We aren't going to face judgment. We're going to face the presence of the Lord, and we're going to be so excited. I can't wait to see heaven. I tried to get there. They wouldn't let me go. I'm back. And I'm going to grumble all. No. Whether He takes me, whether He leaves me, hey, God is still the same. He hasn't changed. So rejoice in who He is. Be of good cheer, church, because He loves us. Father, just thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of it. And thank You, Lord, for meeting with Your people, for meeting with Paul and Luke, Lord, as they were in this storm, just like we get into storms, Lord, and You meet with us there. We're just thank You for Your presence in every place that we are, Lord. Because You haven't left us, You haven't forsaken us, and You tell us You're not going to. So thank You, Father, for it. May we continue to trust in You. May we allow You to prepare our hearts for the things that are going to come to pass. Lord, we don't know what's next. We don't know if it's another COVID. We don't know what it is. We know it's going to be another storm that the world is going to have to look to and trust in the one who's going to bring deception to them. We get to trust the one who's brought truth to us. And we thank You for that, Lord. Encourage us, strengthen us in those things. And Lord, for the storms that are going to come, may we stand faithful. May we stand strong in who You are, because we're equipped with everything that You've given us to stand in the days that are evil. Lord, we love You. We thank You. And we just ask that You just be with us now and send us forth to glorify You. Father, we're just so grateful for all that You've done for us. Thank You for our salvation, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.